Okay, we're continuing in the Mishnah about all the dead body parts or decayed of body parts that get people tamei. Now we're up to the rakav. Al-malei tarvad rakav. Okay, we have, we don't know exactly what this malei tarvad is. It's some sort of shi'ur. We're going to have a discussion exactly what this is. And the rakav is decomposed like dust from a dead body. We're going to get into today what makes up this dust, and in what cases is it not considered rakav. We're going to see a lot of the things they learned here are passed down halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So as usual, when they have this masoret of halacha, what?
Do they learn anything from halacha l'moshe today about the tumah of bodies? Like, is there ever an end to the tumah? Like, are we going to learn now that once the body turns into total dust, it's no longer tamei?
Ah, so we'll see. So we'll see all different type of situations, yes. In most cases, we're going to see today that once it's totally decomposed, depending on how the person is buried, it could be that there's no longer
a din of dust. Old cemetery that hasn't been used for
Would not be considered tameh. It's a good question.
Depends.
The question is, how much do people decompose? It gets to it later in the Masechta.
Depending on where you find the plots, how close they are to each other.
Right, that we're going to get into today.
Yeah.
Right, it's actually in today's staff about this.
Okay.
But that's not...
Right.
It comes up in Samach Dalet. Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It comes up later.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also mentioned in today's staff.
Stay tuned.
Okay. So it's a good question. We'll keep in mind. I have to think about the Lemaaseh questions. Okay. Amalei tarvah rakav. V'kama shiuro. So how much is this malei tarvah, right? Not only were we not understanding what this is, but they didn't understand either. Chizki amar malei pisat hayad. Your palm. Okay? So you, like, if you put something full onto your palm, right, it's unclear how you're going to do it full if you don't pick up your fingers, but, right? So basically your palm, a palm's full. Rabbi Yochanan amar malei chofnav, a fistful, right? Meaning closing, including the fingers.
You think it's like the way the Kohanim did it when they say about fingers?
That's kmitza.
No, that's a kmitza. I think it just means put on your palm. And then whatever falls, obviously, wouldn't be... Whatever you can hold in your palm while your palm is open, that's how I understood it. As opposed to when your palm is closed, we can obviously hold more things.
They separately differentiate between palmful and handful.
Okay. Tznan. Malei tarvad rekev shamru yeshnan meikar etzbaot ulamala divar Rabbi Meir v'chachamim omrim malo chofnav. Okay, so now we have a Mishnah that seems to contradict this because it says there's a machlok of Rabbi Meir v'chachamim. So chachamim say malei chofnav, which means that bishlamah Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, the first machlok we saw is chizkiya Rabbi Yochanan. Who are they? They're tanaim. I'm sorry, they're emoraim. And chachamim and Rabbi Meir are tanaim. So basically, if the Amoraim can't say something that doesn't match a Tanaitic opinion. So Bishlama, Rabbi Yochanan makes sense because who damar ka Rabbanan? Because they say like Rabbanan, melo chofnav. Exactly. Elachizkiya keman, lo ka Rabbi Meir, velo ka Rabbanan. Because what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir said, from the etzbaot ulamala, meaning from your knuckles to, right? Or from your etzbaot ulam, right? It sounds like your whole area just of your knuckles, like your fingers, not your palm. So they say, Amre melo pisat hayad, umalo kishre etzbaotav lamala chad shiurahu. They say, no, when he says from kishre etzbaotav lamala, he means the palm. It means from your knuckles, you know, up or down, depending on how you're holding your hand. But basically it means your palm, and that's how they explain it.
They explain here that it's just that they have the same capacity, this amount and this amount are the same. It doesn't matter which one.
Got it. Okay, right. That makes more sense. Okay, thank you. So it means it's the same amount. Okay, they mean the same thing. It sounds very much like the very beginning of Brachot. If anybody remembers so far back, we actually didn't learn it together, the very beginning. There's a whole thing about Ematai HaKohanim, it's Me'ematai HaKohanim Shema Baravin, Mishash HaKohanim Nechnesim L'chol B'Trumatan. And then they quote all these brachot with all these different opinions about what is the time the Kohanim Nechnesim L'chol B'Trumatan. And they bring all different things and they say, well, this doesn't matter to that. And then they say, oh, well, the time, it's all about the time the Ani goes Nechnas L'chol Pito, and the time that and there's all these times measured not in 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or Tzera Kochavim, or Shkia, but in actions. So then they say, oh, well, that action is the same time as that action, as the time that the Ani goes to eat is the same time as, you know, Shkia, because he doesn't have food to prepare, really. He doesn't have stuff to cook, so he just eats whatever he has, and, you know, and there's all different, they try to match up the opinions, and they all say Chad Shiurahu. Okay. Amar Rav Shimi Bar Ada L'Rav Papa. Mimai Dahai Mikishrei Etzbaotav L'Mala L'Rosh. Duma lamata. Lamata midide. Dehava le melo pisata yad. Take him. So now Rav Shimi bar Ashi, right, he says, why are you saying the melo, right, oh, that's why, okay. He's saying, why are you saying the mikishrei etzbot hava lamala is up until the top of his etzbo? Maybe it means it's the bottom. Okay, that's why I got confused in the sugya. Okay, so the first, let me just clarify from the beginning now. When they asked the question, first they said, no, it's the same amount, right? It's the same shiur, like Ruth pointed out. It's not the way I explain it. It's that, right, there's fingers and palm would just be the same amount. And then the Gemara says, why are you assuming that it means mikishrei etzbo tavu lamala? Maybe it means mikishrei etzbo tavu lamata, which is pisata yad. In other words, maybe you just misunderstood what he said, and what he really said was exactly the opposite. Exactly what he said. Okay, teku. We don't really know. Okay. Oh, this is weird. The teku here, some people say, if you see there's a gimel there, it doesn't even belong here, because there's no real question here. Right? It becomes obvious. There's no question. We're not left with the question. I mean, a little bit we're left with the question. Is it lamata or is it lamala? But that's not really a question that you'd use a teku for. Like, we don't know. So it seems weird, and a bunch of people take this out and say this doesn't belong here at all. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Eze meit sheyesh lo rakav. Meit shenikbar erom ba'aron shel shayish o al gabei ritzpa shel avanim. Zehu meit sheyesh lo rakav. Nikbar b'ksuto ba'aron shel etz o al gabei ritzpa shel levinim zehu meit she'ein lo rakav. Okay, this a little bit addresses your question, Naomi, about when do we call this dust that's going to be considered rakav, that it's metame, if you have a malot tarvat of it. So if you're buried in no clothing in an aron that's either made of shayish, of marble, or on stone, then you can assume that what? That the dust is 100% from a dead body. But if the mate is buried in his clothes, which are obviously going to at some point decompose, okay, and or an aron of eitz, also the wood, and or ritzpa shel levanim, bricks are also going to decompose over time, at that point the dust is mixed up with other things. Now dust, now they're going to talk about this halacha l'moshe we've seen it, it's passed down about dust, about this rakav, is going to be that it's only when it's pure rakav and not when it's mixed up with anything else. Okay, we're going to see all sorts of other things along this line. And therefore, so then you have to say to our days, now that people are buried in tachrichim, then right, they don't, there's no din, I would imagine, there's no din of rakav according to this because it's mixed up with other things. Okay? Again, it would depend though if there's still bones left, then you would still have to worry about it. In other words, the question is, how much did it decompose? Did it decompose entirely and is it just dust? Or if the body still have some bones,
I would guess, not knowing anything whatsoever about it, that bones take longer to decompose than, say, a wooden coffin. So that by the time...
Probably knows by now. Mm-hmm.
By the time what?
So that at some point you would know, like, if you've gotten to
oh, you can see if there's bones.
Then there's really nothing, and
right,
it's really almost...
Right, if there's no bones, right. Right, the question is, do people dig under and check what's going on inside, and are there still bones or not? Or
remember, they didn't bury them. They put bodies aside in niches, and they only buried the bones much later.
Right.
A year later, when there was nothing left but bones, so they knew. Mm-hmm. And also, I suppose...
Right, in those days, but nowadays...
Right, but they had a better sense of what happens when, because it wasn't quite as hidden away.
Right. Well, the question that Naomi asked is, if we end up going to a cemetery today, the very, very old cemetery, so would it be metame or not? Right. So I guess you would have to kind of probably see what's going on underneath. If it's just rakav, then according to this, I imagine if they weren't buried, you know, I assume if they were buried in clothing or in something, which they probably were, then it would be mixed up.
The protest every time they're about to build a building over... Bones from 3,000 years ago.
Right, then they must be...
Or maybe it's just some sort of kedusha. It may not be that the issue is tumah exactly. Right, maybe some other kavod or something.
Right. Anyway, it's a good question. Okay, Amar Ula. Ein rakav ela haba min habasar umin hagidim umin haatzamot. Rakav is only when you have a body that has the flesh, the sinews, and the atzamot, and the bones. Okay, so if it doesn't have, if you have, let's say, just bones, or just the basar, the flesh, or just gidim, I don't know how you would have really just the sinews and stuff, but if you would have just that, and from that comes this dusty, you know, substance, That is now called Rakav, another part of this Masoret, how it's handed down. So Etive Rava Leula, Rava says to Ula, wait a minute, how could you say this? Because we have a source that says, Rakav haba min abasar tahur. If you have Rakav that just comes from the flesh, it's tahur. But what's the assumption that you can do? What can you derive from that statement? That ha min ha'etem, it only became from the basar is it tahur, but it came from the bones, it would be tameh. So ha min ha'etem tameh, which sounds like va'af agav delei kabasar, right? It sounds like if it's from the basar, it's tahur. But meaning, if it's just from the etzem, it should be tameh. And then we just said it has to be made up of the basar, the etzem, and the gidim. So they say, no, emahachi, this is how you should derive it. Rakav haba min abasar tahur, ad sheyesh etzem babasar. Okay? It means the rakav that comes from the basar only is tahur. But if it was basar and atzamot, then it would be tameh. So now they say, wait, but you forgot about something, right? Halika gidim. But what about the gidim? So they say, no, ifshar lebasar velatzamot below gidim. There's no such thing. You wouldn't have flesh and blood without these sinews going through. Okay, in the Quran they describe what things can be considered. They call even veins and arteries and any kind of joints and things that connect things would be...
You said muscles.
Muscles, tissue. Okay, so basically there's not going to be flesh and bones without that, so they didn't even need to mention it. Okay, so that was a question. We answered it up. We're okay. Amarav. Amarav Shmuel Bar Abba, Amarav Yochanan. Shnei metim shekeveran ze im ze na'asu gilgilin ze laze. Okay, I'm not going to get into it. There's a whole long thing about what the source of this word gilgilim is. Okay, there's lots of different things. There's different nuschaot. Maybe it's gangrene, like a gangrene, or all sorts of different possibilities about what this word is and what it means. But the main Tachlis Lamasa, what they mean here is that if you have two people buried together, and then there's dust particles from the dead bodies mixed up together, that's like you, the most obvious is gilgul, right? They're mixed up together, and therefore, it's not rakav also. Okay, so rakav, not only does it have to be from the bones and the, right, and it can't have other things mixed in, but also it can't be mixed up from two different people. Okay? So, Mativ Rav Natan, by the way, a lot of these things, they just say are like halacha l'moshe m'sinai, this is how it was passed down. So, we're not going to be able to get into too much logic in today's daf in terms of why is that, because a lot of this, they just say, that's the way it was passed down. Mativ Rav Natan. Rav Natan asked a question, though, on this. Rakav haba mishnei metim tameh. It says that a rakav that comes from two metim is tameh. So how could you say, okay, this is a, is it a breita, a mishnah, I don't recall. Yeah, it must be a breita, because there's no reference to where it's, oh no, it does come. Ah, Tosefta and Oalot, it says also. Okay. So, oh no, I'm looking at the wrong thing. It's not that, no, that was the first source. Okay, it's a braita. Mativ Rav Natan. Rakav haba mishnei metim tameh. So here you see, the rakav that comes from two dead people is tameh. So how could you say that a rakav haba mishnei metim, right, galgalim zelezeh, and it's not tameh? Amarava. No, the case where the Braita said that Rakav that comes from two metim is tameh is a different case. What's that case? Shekavro zebifnatzmo, vizebifnatzmo, vihirkivu, vamdu amalot harvad Rakav. Let's say there's an ohel going over these two graves, in which case one grave has half of a malot harvad of Rakav, and the other body has half a malot harvad of Rakav, and over it is an ohel, and the Nazir comes into that ohel. That's going to be the rakav that's going to make him tameh, that he's going to have to start all his days over again. So in that case, you can join rakav, because each one, you follow, each one has its own independent din of rakav. Whereas if there were two bodies buried together and there was dust that came mixed up from both of them, here they're not mixed up together. We're just using them both as a measurement. You know, but each one has its own distinct rakav.
Except that, just when if somebody's buried, you never know what really is going on down underneath. So the Nazir has to take, obviously, extra precaution. So this is, like, all very...
Right. Right. This is... First of all, you have to realize we are talking about Nazir. We're also just talking about general din of Rakav, which would apply in general about Tumah cases, not just the Nazir. Soon we're going to get off the Nazir entirely. But, yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of how people are matamic. Right. No, it's true. It's true. You know, how would you know? And that's a whole separate other question. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Gazaz Sa'aro. Now we're going to have a whole slew of questions about different parts that are going to, okay? How do you view hair, nails, teeth? Are those part of the body or are they not part of the body? So, Gazaz Sa'aro Ukvaro Imo Naselo Gilgalim. Okay, if he cut his hair and he buried his hair in the grave with him, you know, not he did, but someone buried the hair in the grave with him, then that stuff is already not considered part of the body, the hair. And therefore, the hair mixed up with the body decomposes it to this dust, it's also not considered rakav.
As opposed to if it hadn't been cut off.
Ah, yafet. So, tznan hatam, kol shebimei tamei, chutz min hashinayim vasear vatziporin, ubishat chiburan kulam tmeim. Exactly as Ruth just said, which is every part of a dead body is tame except for teeth, hair, and nails. But when they're connected to the body, then they're metame. Okay, but if they're cut off from the body, then they're no longer considered part of the body. By Chizkiah, Sa'aro, now he's going to ask a question. Okay, so given that if it's off your body, it's not metame. If it's on your body, it is metame. And if it's off your body and it mixes with, since it's not considered part of your body, if it mixes with the stuff and it creates this rakav, then it's not going to be metame. So what if Sa'aro ha'omed legalech, with Tziporin ha'omed legazez, let's say he was planning to cut his hair, or planning to cut his nail, okay? Or maybe, I'm wondering if there's another way to explain this, but it's more that hair that generally people would cut off, I wonder what this exactly means.
Generally.
What?
In Talmudic times, hair was generally cut after it had grown to a certain definite length.
Right, so once it hits a certain length, so then we would assume that it was hair that was going to be cut off, or nails, once they reached a certain length, we can assume at that point those nails are very long and they were planning to be cut off. Of course, though, at that point, you still have nails that are going to be left on the body. But I guess, right, so maybe they're talking about measuring that part.
They're talking hair still left on the body, too.
Right, no, hair also. In other words, hair that would be taken off or nails that normally would have been cut, my. Mi amrina, do we say, kol ha'omed l'gazez kigazuz dame? It's as if, since they should have been cut off, it's as if they were cut off. O dilma, hashtamia ha'machubarin. But maybe at this point, they're still attached, and therefore we view them as attached to the body. So now they say, why don't we say that we'll learn it from here? V'nifshole midiraba barbachana. Ta'ama mishum digazaz. Why don't we learn it from what Rabba Barbachana says? Remember what he said? You probably don't remember who said what. So go back a few lines. Rabba Barbachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Gazaz sa'aro v'kavro imo naselo gilgalim. Right? If he cut his hair. So what do we assume? Only if he cut his hair, right? So Tama, the reason that works is b'gishum de gazaz. Halo gazaz lo. So then they say, no, you can't derive it from there because hachi kamar. Gazaz hareze gilgalin. Lo gazaz mibayele. You could say that no, gazaz was clear to Rabba Barbachana that that's gilgalin and it doesn't create this rakav. But if lo gazaz, but it should have been, you know, they meant to, they were going to, okay, or it sure normally would have been, that he was questioning, you know, he had a question about it. It's not that he knew for sure it's not, he just didn't know, so he didn't talk about that case. In which case, we're not left with an answer to our question, okay? We're going to have a lot of unanswered questions today. By Rabbi Yirmiah. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiah, by the way, I'll just repeat this, we've talked about him in the past, but not for a long time as far as I remember, he always asks what we call nudniki questions. You know, he's always, well, what if, right? We all know there's always students who have, what if? He was like that. Okay. So he says, fine. So what about rakav habamin ha'akev mahu? Okay, now they viewed the heel somewhat differently. Okay? The heel was considered that it wasn't 100% like, I'm trying to remember how they described it here. The Koran had a good explanation of it. Okay, here's the background. I'll just read it to you. Flesh from the heel and the skin that covers it are different in many ways from other tissues in the body. The quality of the blood vessels and nerves in the heels renders them less vulnerable to pain and wounds. This has led some contemporary medical experts to assert that these tissues are fundamentally different from others in the body and have their own form of development, which is very interesting.
Except that the diabetes starts in the heel, I think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When
it starts
in the toe, I think.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it. So anyway, they say, so since they consider the heel a kind of dead zone in the classification of the parts of the body, so that's why they want to ask.
It's a separate part.
Right. Is that considered a separate part of the body? So Rakav Haba Mina Ekev Mahu Ki Gamrinan Rakav Haba Mikule Meit Aval Da'ate Mina Ekev Lo Odil Maloshna. So do we say that it's a Rakav that comes from the whole body, but if it comes from the Akev, not? Or do we say, no, the Akev is just part of the body, we don't distinguish? So Tashma, Detani Rabbi Natan Barabi Yoshaya, let's learn it from here. Rabbi Natan Bar Yoshaya brings a braita. Rakav Haba Mishne Metim Tameh. V'isa kadata chaba mina akev lo zil hacha dilma derech akev ka'ate. In other words, if you have a decomposed body, right? And it could be anything. Here they take the case of the two metim, because we already had that case, right? So you have two dead bodies, they've decomposed. Now if you say that the akev is not part of the body, then what happens? The rakav that comes from the akev does the gilgilin, right? And it messes up the rakav. There is no such thing. So in which case, if you have a dead body with the heel on, which, you know, generally that would be the case, then there would be no din of rakav, basically. These two bodies wouldn't be metame. So therefore, it must be that it is. V'hacha dilma derech akev ka'ate. So, idi irkev kule meit, v'ka'ate derech akev hachinam. So they're saying no. If you got this rakav, the whole body decomposed, including the akev, so obviously it would be tame, right? You would call that rakav, because otherwise there wouldn't be any din of rakav. El hacha kigon di irkav chad ever v'ka'ate derech akev. What if the way they explained this was, one second. Right. In other words, it goes like this. I didn't explain it well enough from the beginning. If the entire body decomposed and then it led to the akev decomposing, you know, or the limbs next to it, then for sure we'd say it's all deemed rakav. But if the first one to decay came from right next to the heel, which means that the decay of the heel caused the decay of that aver, which then caused the decay of the body, then maybe you would say that, sorry, if it was the one limb that decayed, then you would say that maybe the rakav came from the heel, and the heel was the cause of it. In which case, maybe that wouldn't be the same rakav. The heel
is... It's a disproportionate amount of heel dust?
No. It's that, what's causing the decay? If it's the decay from the body, and also the heel decays, we're going to call that decay. But if it's decay that comes from the heel, since the heel in any case wasn't really a full part of the body to begin with, then maybe we would say that that's not rakav. Rakav has to come from decay from the body. So if the first thing that starts to decay is right next to the heel, we might think that the decay is coming from the heel, and that's not a real, that's not rakav, because it's not coming from a live body, right? Because we're saying that it's not 100% live. So that's the, I know you're going to like this. Anyway, so I told you, his questions are niniki. My, so what's the halacha? Teku. Okay, generally, a lot of Rabbi Yirmiyah's questions end in teku. Actually, I had a student once who did a whole research thing on Rabbi Yirmiyah. I don't remember what her theories were, but I remember she took like all the cases of the niniki questions that that he asks. Okay, by Rabbi Yirmiyah. Here comes another one. Ubar b'me'e isha. Havi gilgalin olo. A woman dies and she's pregnant. So now do you say that there's another being in her, right? It's like Shnei Metim, right? This is all about how you treat embryos also. Is it a separate independent entity? Is it part of the mother? So do we say galgalin olo? Here's the two sides of the question. Kevanda amarmar ubar yerech imo hilkach gufahu, right? Since you say that the ubar is like part of the mother, so it's part of her body. V'lo havi gilgalin. O dilma kevanda sofo latzeit. Mifrash parish mine, since we say ultimately it will come out, therefore it's considered an independent unit. Here it gets more interesting. The imtim salomar ubar de safo, let's say mifrash parish mine, and even if you were to say that the ubar that will eventually come out is a separate unit, and therefore we're going to judge this as two metim, what about shechvat zera b'me'e isha mahu? What if a woman dies after having had sex the night before, and there's shechvat zera inside of her, there's semen, so what do we say? Since nothing was created from it, there was no embryo formed, right? No anything formed yet. So it's considered just part of her body. Because in other words, the whole thing was, if you view an embryo as a unique, independent entity, but the semen inside her body, if it never creates anything, well, obviously at this point it's part of her body. O dilma, or do we say, kevan de ma'ama ka'ate lo. since it came from somewhere else, it's not part of her, right? And it's hard to say that's a body part of hers, right, or part of her body. It's not. That she, right, it came into her body from the outside. So you might say that it's not part of her body, and therefore a woman who would have had relations just before dying and had semen in her, then that would make her, right, that would have mixed up with other things, and would it make it rakav? Right, so then that would be a big question as to... so here, so look at Rashi. Rashi says, "My mi amrinan kevan de'akate b'shat mitata lo notzaru bar kigufo yofayim lo yonah. O dilma, shechad zera me'al ma'atule, v'havi l'galgalim." So listen to this line. This is what I really want to see. "Ubi isha," we're five lines in Rashi, the fifth line. "Ubi isha la'olam ein rakav ad de'havi betula o zekena de'lav bap bani." Okay? So in that case, you'd have to say that it was only a woman who couldn't conceive. Okay? Now, why a woman, if you were a zakena, you could have had sex. Why would that make a difference, the shechvat zera? I guess they're saying that the shechvat zera, right, only if it has potential to form another human being would it be considered something of significance that would cancel that. Anyway, that's very interesting. Okay. By Rav Kappa.
You sort of do have to have a principle one way or the other, because otherwise you need to check all the time and remember, and like, that's much more awkward.
Right. Yeah, no, it would be impossible. It's kind of like, there's a bunch of halachot in Nida that originally started out, in the case that you have sex, then you have to, there's this. But eventually it just became, we're just going to assume across the board you did, otherwise it's just impossible to keep track. Okay. Rav Kappa pirsha mahu, kevan delo makayma b'delo achla, chiyutahu. Okay, now, what happens? A person dies. Generally, people have waste in their body that's going to eventually come out. In this case, they die before it came out of their body. So, how do we view this waste? Do we say, since a person can't survive without food, it's chiyutahu, and therefore it's just part of their body. It's part of who they are. It's part of their sustenance. O dilma hanami me'almate. This came from the outside, and therefore it's considered something different. Right? In which case, okay, you're going to see, I'm sure you can already figure this out, but these questions are taking us to such a far place that there's going to be no halacha of rakav, right? And the Gemara is going to ask that very soon. By Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, Oromahu, what about its skin, the person's skin? By Rav Huna bar Manoach, Kichoveniu mahu. You can see that there was, I don't know, I actually didn't look up about all these people that live in the same time, but either the discussion's going on and, one's just asking a crazier question than the next, right? And it's, well, skin isn't flesh, bones, sinews, right? What did we say? It's flesh is something, the skin is a whole different thing. Maybe skin isn't. And what about the kichuvineo? Remember, we saw that yesterday. That was the phlegm and the spit. So what about that stuff? Does that mess up the rakav? So Amar le Rav Shmuel bar Acha le Rav Papa. V'isal kadatach kol hani dekaamar havi galgalin. If you're going to say that all these things are galgalin and they will prevent you from having a din of rakav, so rakav demetame heche mishkachala. How could you ever have a din of rakav? Right, what dead body doesn't have skin on it, right, or some hair on it, or anything? So what do they say? He says this is the case. Da'ashki amed dekalim. If the person drank this date water, which basically is an enema, yeah. And it removes everything from the body, all the waste. Okay, we clean. Let's say right before you died, you took some. You took an enema, and it removed everything from your body. Besachya nasha, and they put. Remember the nasha? That's that stuff that makes the depilatory cream. It makes everything fall off, all the hair fall off. And shalkoba me tiveria, and then they boiled him. The body, once it was dead, yeah, it's a good time to leave. I know. Although I could see one might feel that way. And then after the body was dead, the person was dead, they boiled the body in the waters of Tiberias. Remember the shalko, either it's undercooked or overcooked, I don't know what it means here. But basically, they put it in Mei Tiberias, and the person ends up, right, the skin comes off the body. Okay, so you end up without skin. Now, why you would ever have a situation like this, can't possibly imagine. But I guess they're just trying to show this is how far the questions went. That, you went akadei kacha, you ended up with basically no... The question here is obviously very much better than the answer. Amar Abaye, naktinan, we learn that mecha tachano ein lo rakav. Okay, if they ground up the bones, okay, then it doesn't have rakav. Ibai lehu tachano v'chazar v'herkiv mahu. midi utama ela deika basar vigidim vatzamot v'haika odilma kebriato be'ina v'leika teku. So now they're going to say, well, it's true that if you grind up everything, then it doesn't have a din of rakav. But what if first you ground it up and then it decomposed, turned into this dust? So would you say that because it has, it's still mixed in from that stuff that you ground up, there's basar gidim and atzamot, then what would you say? That it still has a din of rakav, because the rakav is made up of the basar gidim and atzamot that might be ground up, but they were still there, it's still part of that. O Dilmor, do you say no, the rakav has to come from a bria, from something, from actual bones, not from bones that are ground up, or and then vileka. Okay, so again, take it, we don't know the answer. Tami ula bar chanina. Meit shechaser ein lo rakav, velo tfusa, velo shkunat kvara. This is, Shoshana, what you were referring to in the beginning. So a dead body that's missing a part, okay, missing a limb, is generally the way to understand it. If it's missing something, so then it doesn't have a din of rakav, it doesn't have tfusa, and it doesn't have shkunat kvarot. Okay? Tfusa, second, I just alluded my memory what this is. If you find a dead body on the road, okay, not in a regular cemetery where a lot of other people are buried, but you find it like in some makeshift burial.
Or in a cemetery and you're unburying it to rebury it somewhere else.
There's something about the fact that if it's in a real cemetery, then you can't really take it out. You
just
can't.
Assuming a whole,
that's right. Stuff. That's what the whole thing is. So I don't know why it says that. We have to think about it. Anyway. What?
As a real permanent grave may not be relocated, if three graves.
Right.
Whatever.
You'll see it.
Right. So, okay. So there's no rakav, there's no tfusa, which means that when you take out a body, you have to take out some of the dirt around it. If you're going to uproot a grave, there's some grave on the side of the road and you want to move it to a proper place, so you have to take the dirt around it. Okay, there's a shir about it. We'll get to it in Samach Dalet, Samach Hay.
Actually, it says that if there's three, you can't.
So we're going to get to that right now.
Is incomplete and then you can.
Right, so that's exactly what this is saying. So listen. So if a maid is chaser, then there's no rakav, there's no tfusa. Meaning, first I have to explain what tfusa is, okay? Tfusa is that you have to take the dirt from around it. If it's missing a limb, then you don't have to take the dirt around it. Velo shchunat kvarot. Okay, what's that? This is if you have three bodies at a certain distance from each other, there's an assumption that there must be a cemetery. If they're buried in a particular way, it's the typical way that they would bury people, like with a certain distance of more than 4 amot between them, but less than 8 amot between them, then you have to assume that there's a cemetery there, and you have to start checking to see if there's other dead bodies around. But if you find three dead bodies and one of them is missing a limb, then that doesn't count for this halacha of shchunat kvarot. Okay, which is kind of strange, why you would assume just because he's buried without a limb that this wouldn't mean that it's a cemetery, and it's a little difficult. Okay, meitive. Now we're going to ask a question on this braita that Ula brought. So again, Ula bar Chanina said, a meit shechaser has no rakav, no tfusa, no shkunat kvarot. So now we say, lo imamarta. Okay, so you have to get the beginning of this to understand this. Okay, the beginning of this braita is talking about an Eiver min Achai. Okay? Okay, so here's the beginning of it's a mission in Eidiyot. Kizayit basar haporesh me Eiver min Achai. Okay, if you have a kizayit basar that comes from Eiver min Achai, okay, right? Something that was cut off, a limb that was cut off by someone when he was alive. So now we talk about kizayit basar by a meit, of being mitame. And we talk about Eiver min Achai being mitame. What about kizayit of an Eiver min Achai? Okay, is that mitame? So Relezer's mitame, just like kizayit basar min ameit. And Rabbi Yishov, Rabbi Nechunya are mitarim. There's a machloket. Okay? So now they say, Rabbi Yeshua, who says it's tahor, says, why don't we learn it from the kizayit basar that comes from a meit? Okay? So he says, lo, imamarta b'meit, he's going to say, why meit is different, and you can't learn from meit to Eiver min Achai. You understand, Rabbi Lezer wanted to learn from meit to Eiver min Achai. Just like meit kizayit basar, also Eiver min Achai kizayit basar. So now we'll go back to the Gemara. Meit today. Lo imamarta b'meit sheyesh lo rov v'rova o malei tarvad rakav, tomar b'chai she'en lo lo rov v'lo rova v'lo malei tarvad rakav. So he says, there's chumras about a mate that don't exist about Eber Menachai. So why are you going to apply what's true about a mate to an Eber Menachai? They're two totally different things. Okay? So what dinim does he say? So he says, there's rov, right? Rov binyam, rov minyam. Remember, we saw that, is matame. Rova hakav of bones. And then melo tarvad rakav, which means the chai doesn't have rov minyan or rov binyan. There's no such thing by Eber Menachai, right? lo rova, right? There's no such thing as rova kavatsamot. Velo melo tarvad rakav. So what do you see here? That it doesn't have a din of rakav by an Eber Menachai, which they would then assume that what? Right? Hechidami, wait, so now, one second, I want to make sure that this is still part of the question. Right. So hechidami, what are we talking about here? De'irkav chad ever, de'kavate gabe met, afilu chad ever, ika rakav. So now they're going to say it must be that irkav, right, that there was this decay of one aver, just like there would be by a mate, and therefore even one aver, afilu chad aver. One second. Sorry, I misunderstood. He's saying that the dafka would be rakav here. Why? Because. Oh, no. That's what he's saying. He's saying exactly that. That gabe meit, afilu chad ever ikar rakav. You want to say, sorry, I thought he was talking about the bride. He's talking about what Rabbi Yeshua is talking about, Rabbi Lezer, who's metame, this ever. He's saying, what kind of kezayit ever menachai would you be talking about? If you're talking about that one ever was nirkav menachai, we can see that chad ever. Right. What he's saying is, if you think that Eber Menachai, one Eber, can cause Rakav, then obviously you would say the same way Gabe Meit, that an Eber Menameit would also cause Rakav. Okay? This is what's happening. They're talking about, right, the machloket between them is about Kezayit Eber Menachai. Right? And then he's saying, well, if you're going to say that Kezayit Eber Menachai is Metame, then you would also think that Eber Menameit would also be metame, right? And what did we just see? That in the the meisha chaser ein lo rakav. So how can you say meisha chaser ein lo rakav? It means if he's missing a limb, he doesn't have rakav. So how could that possibly be? So now he answers. He says, "Mikatane hamet doesn't say." It's not Hakamash Malan, Shum Meid Yesh Lo Rakav, Shum Chai Ein Lo Rakav. This source that talked about comparing a maid to Eber Menachai was only comparing a maid to Eber Menachai, not to an Eber Menameit. Let's notice they were making this jump from maid to Eber Menachai. It wasn't relating to Eber Menameit at all. So therefore, he's saying you can't learn anything about Eber Menameit. Okay? And therefore, right, it's distinguishing between dead and alive. Right? In other words, the assumption was to connect, to learn from Eber Menachai to Eber Menameit. And he's saying, no, we were talking about mate versus chai, not mate versus Eber Menachai or mate. Okay? In other words, you're comparing two different things. And therefore, you can't learn anything from there. By Rava, Rava's going to ask another question. Hirkiv kishuhu chai v'chazar v'mate mahu. What if he rots when he's alive, the Eber rots when he's alive, v'chazar v'met, and then the guy dies. Okay, now this is a machloket about whether the Eber is attached to the body or not attached to the body. There's two different ways of reading this, okay? But either which way, you have some sort of a case of, you know, it first rots and then becomes dead. Ki gemire rakav di'irkav kishuhu met. That is, rakav only something that just decays once the body's dead, and therefore this decayed, obviously, when the body was still alive, and therefore it's not rakav. Odilma hashtamia hamait. Or do we say, no, at this point the guy's dead, and there's rakav that came from his body, whether it came before he died or whether it came after he died, it shouldn't matter. So they say, tashma, let's learn it from here again, that same source. Lo mamarta b'meit sheyesh lo rov malei tarvav rakav, tomar b'chai v'chule. Again, comparing the maid and the chai, which seems to imply that the chai doesn't have rakav at all. So they say, Tama mishum chai, hamet yesh lo rakav. Ah, so first they want to assume that the reason here is because the guy is still alive. That they're comparing a guy who's chai to a guy who's alive. And therefore, once this guy has already died, then you can say he has rakav. So again, they say, no, you can't learn from there, because mikatane hamet, hakamash malan dishum mate yesh lo rakav, shum chai ein lo rakav. In which case you're going to say, one second, I want to make sure I didn't confuse that. So they're saying in the end you can't learn it from here because, right, it's, what they're basically saying is it's not talking about tuma that came from an Eber Min HaChai, that source. It's talking about someone who's alive and a body, a limb that came from a body that was alive, and someone who's dead, and a limb that came from a body who's dead. And a, or no, not a limb, right? The dead was just a dead person. And therefore, this tells you nothing at all about someone who was alive while he had the decay and then died. They're basically saying that this, you can't learn anything because it's talking about two different cases. Okay, they try to take the source and say maybe it's referring to all sorts of things, and they say, no, no, the source is very clear. It's comparing dead to Eber Min HaChai. Right, and nothing in between. Okay, and therefore you can't learn anything from there. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with a nimala shechasara.